September, you were supposed to be building into the saint of God, which was you. Amen? So this month, what's it say we're supposed to build into?
The church of God.
Amen.
What's the church of God?
It is you guys.
The corporate body.
Amen. So this is the month we're specifically, on purpose, build into. Nope. All right. We will make you some.
Oh.
Just the wash and the water.
Gotcha.
All right. We will make some and we will have them here Tuesday night. And if you're not here on Tuesday, you can pick them up Sunday. But let's build into the church of God, specifically, on purpose. What are some of the ways that you could build into the church of God? There you go. You could tithe. You could give. The church cannot run without funds to run it. All right? What are some other ways you can build into the church of God?
Praying.
You could pray for people. Awesome. If you don't know how to pray for people, walk up to somebody in greeting time and say, "Hey, Ken and Elaine, I was just wondering how I could be praying for you this month." Be that easy. And
crazy.
They'll tell you.
It's craziness.
Pretty simple. What are other ways we can build into the church of God?
Connect.
Invite somebody.
That's fun.
That's crazy.
That's fun. Invite somebody over for dinner to your house. Feed
them. Invite somebody to church.
Invite somebody to church. Invite somebody to church. Send somebody a card. You build into the church of God by building into the people that make up the church of God. Amen? So ask God. Spend some time in prayer and say, "Lord, show me specifically. How can I specifically and on purpose spend this month building into the church of God?"
Amen. Did you get your encouragement card?
Yes.
Who didn't get it? Raise your hand.
Karen, bad boy.
Who was handing them out?
You.
Wow. A lesson in blame. Taryn is going to go find some more. Here's what it says, though. Discretion is putting two and two together and keeping your mouth shut.
Amen.
Job 13:5, you should all have this on your refrigerator. If only you would be altogether silent. For you, that would be wisdom. A lot of times this gets used in my house. Huh, baby?
Okay, raise your hand real quick if you need that encouragement card.
Who didn't get one? Right here.
Did not get
right
it.
Here. Right here. Back over here, Taryn. Kelsey. Putting to it. How many of you know that not everything that enters your brain needs to come out of your mouth? Remember, God's word says, a fool's mouth invites a beating.
A
fool's mouth invites a beating. You have two ears and one mouth. That means you should listen twice as much as you talk.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It is the glory of God to conceal a man.
Okay. Ready? Test number two. Today is test day in church. What's the word for the year?
Jesus.
Promise.
New Testament, Jesus. Old Testament, Moses. Come on. Andy, right? Andy passed all of Sunday school by those simple answers.
Okay, so the word for the year is?
Promise.
And how many months are we into the year?
10.
Okay, who remembers what the P in promise was for?
Proceed.
Proceed. Proceed. Romans 4:20. Unless you will proceed, you will never get to the promise because quitting is? Amen.
Who remembers what the R is?
Remember.
Did you remember what the remember was?
You need to remember the promises of God. It will give you faith and encouragement. That's why we take testimonies. As you remember what God has already done for you, the promises He's already kept to you, it will give you faith to continue as you wait for the promises you're currently waiting for. Luke 1:37 was the scripture reference for the R.
Who remembers what O was? You went back to your notes. Omniscient?
Omniscient.
Omniscient, what does omniscient mean?
All
knowing. All knowing. As in satient means omniscient is one who knows everything. And that is God alone. Anybody else here know everything? Yeah, no, okay. Only God.
So if he is omniscient, he knows exactly how to bring your promises right to you, just like we heard today, right? O is for omniscient, Isaiah 55:9.
Courage. M is for?
Mighty.
That's right. All of the promises of God are mighty. Amen?
Whether you happen to like that promise or not like that promise. Sometimes we look at the promises of God and we only choose to believe the ones that make us feel good. Like, I want to bless you and prosper you and keep you in good health. And we don't want to do the other ones that say,
turn from your sin and repent.
Pride cometh before a fall. He who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will come to sudden ruin without remedy. Those are the ones we don't typically like to remember. But all of the promises of God are mighty. Deuteronomy 3:24 was the scripture for that one.
Inheritance. It was about inheritance. Where do your promises come from? Your inheritance.
Your inheritance.
Can I tell you, because you're a child of God, you have an inheritance. If you were not a child of God, you would not have an inheritance. Call up Bill Gates and say, hey, I want 1/100th of your wealth. And he'll say, who are you? Right? Now, do you want God to say that? Who are you? Be gone from me, for I never knew you. I don't think so. I'm going to be like, Dad! It's your favorite son. I'm here. I'm here for my inheritance.
Psalm 2, 7 through 9 was the scripture reference for I. S is for?
Supernatural.
1 Corinthians 2:9. Supernatural. All of the promises of God are supernatural. Amen? They're going to be fulfilled by a supernatural God. They come from a supernatural place. Therefore, don't start walking by sight, because you start looking in the natural and you're going to begin to doubt that your promise really is in the supernatural. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Remember, you got to walk on the water. Peter walked on the water. Now look, Moses had a great testimony, but God had to dry the ground out for him. Moses walked on dry ground. Peter walked on water. He's the only other man who walked on water. Jesus and Peter. Amen?
Amen.
Supernatural. What's the E for?
Eternal.
How long are the promises of God good for?
Forever.
How long is forever?
Forever.
Really, really, really long time. Amen.
Amen. Reference for that, Psalm 119, 89 through 90. Okay, now we can get on to today's work.
Okay, come on. We got to refresh. Come on, Jesus. Father, we just ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. Let us be fruitful in our minds, Lord God. Let our spirits receive what you have. Let the words be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase. And send forth your word to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Where the devil can't get to you. Who wants to be where the devil can't get to you?
Amen.
You don't want to be where the devil can't get to you, Ron? You just weren't paying attention. He's like, huh? I would like to be in a place where the devil can't get to me. Amen.
To me.
I'm with you, Jeff. Okay. I just didn't know if it was like potty. Anyway.
Sorry. I'm doing something to my microphone. We're trying to figure out what it is.
Here. Come here. Come here.
That was weird. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
See, if I didn't do it, that made it worse.
Did that make it worse? Wait a minute.
Is it the cord?
How many ways can I screw this up?
Hmm. Is that any better? The devil comes for several reasons. Why does the devil come? There it is. It says he only comes for those reasons, to kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen.
Not good.
Come on.
He never has. I just want to tell you, when it's not the voice of the shepherd, it's never good. There's only two voices. People always ask, when will this attack end? When will I stop being vexed of the devil? You know when that is? When you reach heaven. When you reach heaven. When we reach heaven, we're not going to have to worry about this. Amen?
Amen?
When will he stop attacking God's people? When he finds his eternal placement in the lake of fire. When no longer will he be attacking the people of God. But for a time and a season, he is in movement for his purpose. He is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right?
That's right.
He's got a purpose, and his purpose is to try and draw as many people away from the truth of God as possible. During that time and season, you need to know where the places that he can't get to you are.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? You need. I mean, when you play tag, did anybody play tag and you have a base? You have, you know, like safe?
Yep, safe.
We never played that. I don't know. Well, we played hardcore tag. We played in the dark with barbed wire and BB guns. So tag was a lot harder in my house. There was never a safe zone. You'd be upstairs in your room, and it was a little more like, you're it! Oh. So, yeah. But God has a place where you can... We played hard. That's why I'm tough. But see, while we're here and while the enemy is out doing his thing, we need to know that there are safe places for us to be.
That's right.
Where he can't get to us. Amen?
Because he's like a seeker and a stalker, isn't he? He seeks, well, he stalks us like prey. He's a predator and he stalks us like prey. And then he patiently seeks for the right time to strike us. Have you noticed that about him? He just waits. He's always kind of watching, and he's looking for that right circumstance, that right atmosphere, seeking you out when he can strike. And so as we journey along in our walk here with God, that's why we need to know, where are the places I can go, Lord, where he can't get to me there? Where are the places where I can go where it will be very unfruitful for him to try to stalk me there? We need to know where those places are. Where are the places where when he seeks after me, he's not going to be able to get to me there? Lord, I need to know where those places are. So first, I want you to look at what the definition of a stalker is, because this is what the devil is like. To stalk is to proceed through an area in search of prey. Isn't that what he does? He's kind of stalking through the life, looking for you. He's searching after you. To pursue a game or a person stealthily. To proceed in a steady, deliberate, or sinister manner. Boy, if that doesn't describe the enemy. As he stalks you, he proceeds after you in a sinister manner, because he doesn't have a single good thing that he wants to bring to your life. He is stalking you like prey for the purpose of destruction and devouring.
Kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he is doing. You are prey or quarry, right? Right?
Right.
New King James, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober.
Uh-huh.
Be sober.
Uh-huh.
Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I want to talk to you about sobriety for just a second. It doesn't mean just don't drink. I would say that's wisdom in the first place, my personal opinion. But to be sober means to be aware. It means to be watchful, vigilant, means to be like a sentry on the tower, watching to make sure that no one is attacking. But to be sober means to be clear-minded. So to be sober means that I can't be watching my video games because I am not sober, because I am not watchful in my mind. It means I can't be drunken. It means I can't be doing drugs or about other things. Right? See, distraction will cause you not to be clear-minded. Anybody ever found yourself distracted and not clear-minded? Yeah. Okay, so be sober, be vigilant. He's stalking you. He is tracking you like prey for his next meal.
That's right.
How many of you would like to walk into the savannas of Africa, into lion country, carrying a ham? Or go up into bear country, wearing your salami shirt? See, look, I want you to think about this. The enemy is stalking you. He is a lion. And what is a lion? A lion is a predator.
Mm-hmm.
A lion is not looking for vegetables. He is looking for you to kill, steal, and destroy, right? When an animal stalks something, how do they stalk it first?
Scent.
Lions can smell at an incredible distance, and they are looking for you. A good scent dog, like the devil, tracks by scent. Amen? He will track you by your scent. He smells your judgment. He smells your fear. He smells your bitterness. He smells your anxiety. And he's like, oh yeah, there's one. Look, if you're going into lion country, I want to smell like a lion. Now, I want to smell like something that lions are afraid of. Right? I do not want to smell like a gazelle. Or like a buffalo wing. But what is the enemy hunting? Kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first part of the scent that he catches.
He'll smell your unforgiveness. He'll smell your offense. He'll smell your greed. He'll smell your lust. And he'll begin to seek you out like prey.
Have you ever seen one of those hunting shows where they're going through and all of a sudden the wind shifts and you see the lion goes, I smell me some food. Mm-hmm. See, because he might smell your rage, smell your doubt, smell the pride or the rebellion of your heart. Talking with somebody about this the other day. Well, where does that come from? Oh, it's rebellion. Flat out rebellion. And I'm going to tell you what, the devil, like a roaring lion, mm-hmm. he smells rebellion and anger. Those things draw him like a shark to blood.
Mm-hmm. He'll smell your sickness. You know, predators can smell wounded animals and they seek them out because they go, ooh, there's some lunch. There's some easy lunch, as a matter of fact. He'll smell your woundedness. He'll smell your worry. He'll smell your confusion. He'll smell your discontent. And the next thing you know, he's stalking you. I was up in the woods one time. I was doing a ladies' retreat, and we had borrowed a friend's cabin. And there was probably 12 of us. And I walked from here maybe to the parking lot, is as far away as I was from the cabin, just to read my Bible. So I could see the cabin. They could all see. Just early morning, I got up nice and early, took my cup of coffee. I sat out there and reading my Bible. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise, and I knew exactly what it was, and it was a mountain lion. And he was screaming right at me. And I sat right there, and I thought, oh my, he smelt me. And he sees me. I didn't see him, and all I could think of was, I am lunch. And I sat there, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, lest you help me. Lest you help me, I'm going to provide him with a tasty lunch today. And I tell you what, there was one thing I was looking for when I was sitting there, and it was nowhere near to be found. And we're going to tell you what that is in a minute. Think about this. Back in the times of slavery, when the slaves would get away, how would they hunt them? The dogs. When kids go missing, what do the police go get? Dogs. Hunt them by scent. The devil hunts you.
Look, he smells your scent, and he is out there tracking you. Some of you guys are out there like you're out for a Sunday stroll. Like when I'm like, baby, you're in the mountains. When I'm in the mountains, it might not be good for a mountain lion or bear to find me, because I'm just as likely to eat him as he is to eat me. But see, she was just like, some of you guys are just out for a stroll, and your enemy is out there looking to seek whom he may devour. and you are wandering around like you're on a Sunday hike, carrying your little picnic basket, little Red Riding Hood. La 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 la. Oh, I hope Granny likes this big ham I'm carrying. Right? I don't know how that bear found him. Really? He was carrying a picnic basket. Mr. Ranger, sir, I found his picnic basket. But when an animal or a person is being tracked, here's one of the things. We're going to use an analogy so that you don't use this to run from the police. But if you're being tracked by an enemy, if you're being tracked by a predator, can I tell you a great place to get out, a great place to hide, to where the scent can't be tracked, is in the water.
That's what I didn't have, was water.
In the water. I'm going to tell you what. Find your river.
That's right.
Stand in the river. Stand in the river. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. See, not only is water a source of life, and wherever it goes, you'll find life. Look, survival school will tell you, find a river, and you'll find people and life. Right?
Sure.
This is what survival school says. But also, in the river, the scent is removed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be tracked in that river, in that water, because it removes your scent. In Ezekiel 47, verse 1 through 12, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south gate. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand alongside the shore. From En Gedi to En Eglim, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea, but the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing."
Amen. Amen.
Get you to the water.
Get to the water. That's what I was looking for. Unfortunately, the nearest water was back in the log cabin that I came from. So I had to figure out how to get back there otherwise. But I tell you what, if I could have found the water, that'd have been the first thing I was in. I'd have jumped right in the middle of the river in the water in anything, because I didn't think the big kitty cat was going to come after me in the water. When you are immersed in the waters of God, your tracking scent is washed away. You notice where he took the man? He didn't stop when the water was at his ankles, and he didn't stop when the water was at his knees, and he didn't stop when the water was at his waist. So you know what? I want you to go all the way in. All the way to where, because when you're immersed in the waters of God, then your scent of fear falls away. Your scent of anxiety and lust and offense and pride and bitterness and all of those tracking scents that the devil has on you like prey, they all just get washed away. And then he can't find you. Now, one of the keys to this is this happens when you are immersed in the river, not just stand along the bank of the river. And this is what people do sometimes. See, it says here, the swamps and the marshes were not made fresh. That's because they were disconnected from the river. That's why they were not made fresh. Did you notice that it said that wherever the river flowed, it dumped into the Arabic Sea? What's talking there is talking about the Dead Sea. It says, you know what? As a river of life, when you flow into dead places, you bring the life of God. It says, wherever that river flows, there's going to be life. It's going to be teeming with life. But the swamps and the marshes, they were not made fresh because they were disconnected. And that's what happens to us sometimes. We become like swamps and marshes. We get along the banks of the river, and we get devoured on the banks of the river because we're just one step away. And he can still smell you along the banks of the river. But if you would just get in the river and get immersed in the river, he couldn't get to you there. So many Christians die on the banks of the river. They come to church. They do all these things that they think is going to keep the devil away. Christian gatherings. Well, I'll read the word a little bit. Well, I'll hang out at church. Well, I'll listen to that tape, or I'll do this thing, or I'll do that thing, and I'll run from event to event. And they just hang out on the side of the river, and the devil finds them there. And he devours them because they're one step away. You've got to get immersed in the living waters of God in order for the sin to be washed away, because the devil can't get you there.
See, just knowing where the living water is, this is one of those people who says this. I love this. Oh, I've tried Christianity. You tried it? Really? How do you try Christianity? You either are or you're not. You don't try. Well, I tried being a Christian. No, you either are or you're not. I tried being pregnant. Didn't like it. It's not. You either are or you're not, right? You must be in it. Just being around the living waters does not throw the enemy off your scent. Do you know where predators hunt? Around the water. You know
yeah.
Why?
Because
that's where everybody who just wants to get near the water wants a drink of the water. I don't really want to get in the water. I just want to drink the water. And you know what? When they put their head down, you ever seen deer drink? They drink like this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they know they are vulnerable on the edge of the water. Now get inside that water, and at least I can hear splashing when you come to get me. And I know that I am less vulnerable. See, being immersed in those rivers of living water washes away that scent, puts you in the right place. Being in flow with the river, predators don't hunt along the river to watch things float down the river. Now, a bear might catch salmon, but you're a lot bigger than a salmon, right? And see, as you're going down that river, you've got to be in the river. In the river, completely immersed. Not just on the edge, not just, I'm trying some Christianity. I put a little behind my ear so I smell like a Christian. I use a little Christian perfume so that people at work think I am. Have you ever known those people? Come on, they get inoculated a little bit. In the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 and through 39. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Can I tell you, when you got the Holy Spirit, you are the river. You are the river. Dive on in. And the sense of bitterness and anger and frustration, of hurt and offense, all of those things will be washed away. And the devil will be like, that's just some fresh water going there. Amen? See, some of you guys need to destroy that, what we call in my house, beaver darns. You know what a beaver darn is? We don't say that word in my house, so we call them beaver darns. Have you ever heard of Jean-Claude Van Darn? That's what we call him in our house. So look, some of you need to knock down those big old darns that you've been building. I know that makes them snicker. I like that. Why? Do you know what a darn, you know what that does? It creates brackish stopped water.
That's right.
Right? You got to knock that down because you don't want to become a swamp or a marsh, because swamps and marshes, they're still there for salts, and you're going to die in that salty place. It stopped the movement of the water, and what was supposed to be flowing like a river is now stopped. And you're just sitting there, and the old predator's like, what's that? What's that kind of floating around there? Because can I tell you what? Anybody ever been near a swamp? Here's the word that comes to me. They stinketh. They are putrid. And you know what? When things are putrid, the stinkier roadkill is, the more predators like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? See, because you're easier to find. As you destroy that beaver darn that is holding back that water, that scent, all of a sudden, your scent is going to be moving down the river, and it's no longer going to be in that one spot for the enemy to target you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. This is what Ronnie was talking about. He said, I know what to do. I just need to do it. I need to break up that fear, that self-doubt, that whatever it is that says, well, I don't want to take that step, but I don't want to say that thing, but I don't want to do that thing for whatever reason. And so the rivers of living water are just stuck, and they become like that swamp. And he said, I just need to get in flow. I just need to do it. I just need to take that step, whatever it is. Rivers of living water shall flow from the belly of the believer. But in order for them to do the shall flow, you have to let them. Because you actually can stop the shell flow on the inside of you if you desire to. And now, not only is he stalking you, but he's seeking you out. He's a stalker and he's a seeker. I want you to get a hold of this morning. Here's what seek means. To go in search or quest of. The devil is in search of you. To try to find or discover by search or questioning. Do you know the enemy listens a lot? He listens to all sorts of things. He listens to what you say about you and your life. He listens to what other people say about you and your life. Why? Because he's searching for that opportune time. In Luke 4:15, when the devil had finished all of this tempting, he's talking about Jesus when he was in the desert, he left him until an opportune time, which means he's looking for that opportune time to come back. Now, if he's looking for the opportune time for Christ, of course he's going to be looking for that opportune time with us. Opportune means appropriate, favorable, suitable, or well-timed. That's what the devil's doing. He's seeking. He's seeking out that right atmosphere for his next strike in your life. He's patiently looking, and he's watching, and he's questioning, and he's attempting to discover by watching your life and listening to what's being said for the appropriate, favorable, and most well-suited time to strike. And so he's seeking, and he's watching, and he's looking for the atmosphere that's easiest for him to move in. Enemies are good at this. They don't look to strike in atmospheres that are hard for them to move in. They wait to look for the atmosphere that's easy for them, and then they begin to move. Atmospheres that are favorable, atmospheres that are well-timed and suitable. And then, boom, they strike.
Look, your enemy is wise in knowing what his best hunting atmosphere is. He'll wait until it's just a little dark and you can't see him. He'll wait until it's just a little foggy so that you can't hear and see him. Sometimes the atmospheres that you end up in are confusion, like a fog. Can I tell you, when people are like, I am just so confused, I just don't know what to do. Man, the devil's like, nice. I'm just waiting right there. Exhaustion. exhaustion. Can I tell you, anybody ever been exhausted and then, you know, you find that you're a little shorter than you normally are and you're a little grubbier than you normally are and you're a little less gracious, merciful, loving, wonderful, and fun to be around? We were discussing this morning. When I was younger, I was much less prone to these things. And as I've gotten older, I find myself that I need to be cautious about the atmosphere of exhaustion because I'm not nearly as fun-loving and gracious as I once was. Depression, here's another area where the devil loves to find you in this atmosphere. Distraction, discontent. Oh, man. Discontent. Oh, can't believe my husband's. I wish my husband were like that. Oh, my wife is like that. I wish that she was like this. I can't take this anymore. I just can't put up with this anymore. Deception. Surely God does not want me to not be happy. Look, show me here where it says, and God sent his only begotten son that you might be happy. God sent his only begotten son that you would never have a frown on your face. That things would be lovely in your world and there would be sunshine and rainbows and candy falling from the sky. Not what God said. He said he sent his only begotten son that whosoever should believe on him would not perish but have eternal life.
Sorry.
That's the goal, the kingdom of heaven, not your happiness. Chaos, apathy, division. Come on, these are atmospheres where the devil's like, man, this is like a lion getting thrown into a chicken house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is some food here. I can do this. There's a story of one of these old cargo planes, kind of like, you know, a Russian or in India, China, one of those third world nations, where they're flying one of those old cargo planes, and they got people and passengers in there too, but they got a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, they fly chickens and all sorts of stuff. Well, this flight attendant who's on there calls the captain, and she goes, there is a cobra loose on this plane. How many want to be trapped with a cobra in a plane? She says, you have got to land this plane. And the captain says, no. We need to go up and gain altitude. No, 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 no. You need to put this plane on the ground. That snake is going to bite people and kill people. No, 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 no. Tell everybody to strap in. We're going up. And so the pilot goes up and up and up and up. And pretty soon they're watching that snake, and that snake is just laying there. And everybody's noticing there's not a lot of oxygen to breathe. But that snake ain't either. So the captain comes back, grabs that old snake, and puts it back in the cage and locks the cage back up. Can I tell you what he knew that they didn't? The atmosphere that they could survive as human beings was not suitable for a snake.
Right.
See, he knew this in his mind because he knew about snakes. He knew about his enemy, that his enemy could not stand this high atmosphere. Do you know your enemy cannot stand a high atmosphere?
Right.
He does not like it. It's not comfortable. He likes this earthly place where there's lots of frustration and exhaustion and discontent and deception. But you take him up to the high places of God, all of a sudden he like, there's not a lot to eat up here. That's where you want to be, right? Look, he can't breathe. He can't move. And the last thing he's thinking about is killing, stealing, and destroying. He's like, too much God up here. Can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
See, the higher places of oneness with God, you know the Mount of Transfiguration? You did not see Satan up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, did you? I'm telling you what. When they were up there, and Moses and Elijah and Jesus is shown in all of his glory, you didn't see Satan up there going, uh-huh, yeah, you come down from here, I'm gonna kill you. Nah, it was very quiet up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because the higher places that you go with God, you're transfigured. You're taken to the next level. And the enemy can't breathe up there. He doesn't like those places. When you find yourself in one of those divine moments, you're in prayer, you're in worship, you're ministering the word to somebody, the enemy's like, can't breathe. Can't breathe. Right?
Sorry.
Where your oneness with God creates an atmosphere where there's nothing for Him. Yeah. When you're like praising and worshiping and the Spirit of God is all over you, He doesn't come and go, uh-huh, I'm going to get you now. Oh no, what does He do? Like what Jesus says, He backs off, waits for an opportune time. When's that time? When you come home and dinner's not ready. And the kids are tearing up the house. Or your husband spent money on the new car part instead of taking you to dinner. Come on now, I'm quiet. But see, then you're like, I can't believe you did that. You always think about you and you never think about me. Then what? Then the devil goes, I can breathe here now.
Mm-hmm.
Come over here where I can talk to you. Only when you descend back to that place can he begin to move again. You need to go, wait a minute, baby. Grab my hands. Let's fall on our knees and pray. And let me repent for not putting you first. I'm going to guarantee you, husbands, if you do that, that devil will be like, this is not an opportune time.
Turn to Psalm 91. This is what we see happening in Psalm 91.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The shelter of the Most High. Can I tell you? Snakes do not like the shelter of the Most High. Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. Who's the fowler? The enemy, that's right. He's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. And from the deadly pestilence, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. This is something we tell you guys all the time. When you read the Bible, notice the words. Don't just read for content, because every word means something in the Word of God. And where it says, 10,000 will fall at my side. It doesn't say by my hand. In other words, man, you're in the highest place with God, and the 10,000s are trying to get up to you, and they just keep falling away. Why? Because they can't breathe up there. Because they can't move up there. And they keep trying to get up to that oneness place where you are with God, and they just keep falling away. And they just keep falling away. It doesn't say that the lion and the cobra, that they killed them and then stepped on them. They fell, and all you had to do was go, there you go, you're under my feet. Why? Because when you're up here with God, the devil can't move up there. He can't breathe up there. He doesn't even want to. He'll just wait till you descend. And the other place that the serpent can't breathe and he can't move is when you are in the all-consuming fire of God. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is an all-consuming fire. If you're in a man-made fire, well, when you're in a man-made fire, all sorts of things can happen. But when you are in a divine fire, where you are in the all-consuming fire of God, you are in an atmosphere where the devil cannot get to you. He absolutely cannot. Remember when they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and they threw him in the fiery furnace? Those that threw him in the furnace died by the same fire that they walked around in. Why? Because it was a divine fire. And so the devil couldn't get to him there. And so if you are in a divine fire, if you are walking around with the all-consuming fire, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, then the devil can't get you there. Let's look at Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2 as we close. One of the things they'll tell you when you're in the woods to keep the predators away, build a fire. Right? Because they don't like fire.
Predators do not like fire, unless they are us, in which case we like barbecue. Barbecue. Amen?
Amen?
See, look, we're the only predator that uses fire. Our God is a consuming fire.
That's right. That's right. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now this is what the Lord said, He who formed you, O Jacob, He created you, O Jacob, and formed you, O Israel. You should write your name in there if you happen to write in your Bible. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Amen.
Write it in your Bible. Put your name in there. And if you don't write in your Bible, go get another Bible.
That you can write in.
That you will write in. Not can, will. If you don't write in your Bible, throw that Bible away. Give it to somebody who will write in it. What good is a Bible you can't write in? Billy Graham said you could write damnation in the dust on those Bibles that you are unwilling to write in.
Come on.
Put your notes in there. Put yourself in there. Put your life in there. Put your thoughts in there. So that when people find this 100 years from now, we still be around. They'll see what you thought, what you felt. Both my boys I've got multiple Bibles that I've done, read out of, and written in. Why? Because I'm leaving them as a testament when I go. My dad was whack. What did he think there? I don't know, you know? I mean, but they're going to know what I thought about those things, right? That's what we should be doing. Darnation. Thank you.
Amen. He's a seeker. He's a stalker. Get to those places where he can't get to you. Get in the river. Get in the fire. Get to the high place.
Up to the altitude, right? Come on, Lord Jesus. Father, we live in this world, Lord God, a place where the prince of the power of the air has dominion, Lord God. But we have been given dominion over everything. And so, Father, as you help us, as we lean into you, as we are filled with rivers of living water, as we immerse ourselves in water, Lord God, as we build atmospheres of praise, Lord God, and of holiness, Lord Jesus, as we find ourselves in these places, as we seek you where you can be found, Lord God, you will give us rest from our enemy. Lord, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But you came to bring life, and that more abundantly.
Thank you, Lord.
We know where his place is, and we know where our place is with you.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, our place with you is under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. Lord, you will be our shield and our buckler. Father, we thank you for that. Help us to remain close, to be aware, Father God, and to walk in manners that keep our enemy seeking, Lord God, and never finding. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you need to get some scent off of you, if you feel like he's tracking you hard, then come up and get into the rivers of living water. If you need to go to that higher place today with God, then come and get in his presence and let us pray for you today.